This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, this is BJ. Thanks for listening to our show's podcast. If you're a fan of all things geeky, you should check out my other podcast, BJ Shea's Geek Nation. We have new episodes every day, and you can check it out at bjgeeknation.com.
Your home is going into foreclosure, and you feel like a financial wreck. You don't know where to turn for accurate information. I'm bankruptcy attorney Travis Gagne. Let's talk about some legal options. If we work quickly, we can propose a plan to save your home, modify the loan, or in many cases, even eliminate your second mortgage. The consultation is free. I've helped hundreds of people just like you make informed decisions about whether to save their home or exit it on a reasonable, organized timeline. The chapter you choose sets the tone for the next chapter of your life. Please contact me today at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com.
99.9 KISW, the Rock of Seattle. I'm telling you, geeks are everywhere, man.
I know.
It's so bizarre to me, because if you told this guy 30 years ago that there'd be geeks in the police department, geeks doing construction, just geeks everywhere, I wouldn't have believed you.
Nerd!
But it's true, man. This goes all the way, and in Missouri, too, by the way, which, you know, I wouldn't think would be the bastion of geekdom. But people from Missouri, they got a pretty important alert from the Highway Patrol on Tuesday, asking folks near Gotham City to be on the lookout for a green and purple 1978 Dodge 3700.
Green and purple?
You've got to go deep on this one. I mean, Gotham City obviously is a hint.
Right. There's no Gotham City in Missouri.
Right. But we know about an iconic Gotham City.
That we know of.
That's true.
You never know. There could be a nicknamed city, Gotham City.
And based on my performance in Beat Migs, I really don't know much about geography.
I'm just saying there's
no Gotham City. I'm saying it with no confidence.
Yeah. Well, you should have a lot of confidence, because there isn't. And this is the kind of alert you get on your phone.
So this
pops up on people's phones. And they realize, whoa, this went to everybody's phones. It turns out that this was a test to make sure that system works, so that you could text people's phones and say, hey, by the way, this is an important mission and message. But instead, it was really just a test that wasn't supposed to go to anybody's phone. But this person, obviously a Batman fan, because you got to go deep, because the green and purple, which if you think of that color scheme, you think of one of Batman's iconic villains.
Lex Luthor.
That's exactly it. Yes.
I
will tell you, I didn't know that it was an exact make of car, but a green and purple 78 Dodge 3700 is the Joker mobile, apparently.
Joker mobile.
Yeah, it doesn't have the same ring to it. No.
Not really.
Yeah.
It was one of the cars that was used in Batman 1989, the 1989 one.
And, oh, okay.
And I literally just watched this weekend.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It doesn't really hold up. But, I mean, it's a fun movie.
That's the one with Jack Nicholson and Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it was so awesome when it came out, Rev. And you're right. I saw it, maybe not that recently, but I saw it, you know, probably in the last 5 years. And I was like, ooh, man, compared to what movies are today. But this really is what started it all. Back in 1989, this really kicked off the superhero movie craze because of the success of Batman. So we have to thank Tim Burton, Danny. Tim Burton gave us all what we have today.
I like it.
I'm shocked you're not a big Batman fan because of that.
You know, I got dragged to those movies when I was a kid, and I didn't want to go. So it was just one of those, like, I had, like, a real aversion to... I think that's why I don't like any, like, superhero movies.
Who's taking you to them?
My uncle.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he's
Uncle Rico.
No, Uncle Paul.
Talking about his old football career. Yeah. I don't know why. All of a sudden, Danny's Napoleon Dynamite.
That works for me. Yes.
When was the last time you saw, because it was the first two, Danny, that Burton did. When was the last time you saw those?
Oh, I mean, since I went when I was a kid. I mean, I'd probably rewatch them just to see what it was. I mean, I kind of remember them, but it was one of those
I'm surprised you haven't gone back just because of being such a big Tim Burton fan that you kind of want to go you know, sometimes you want to just make a big dive into everything that someone has done, and that would be a big part of it.
No, and true, and it's one of those, I think that, just for me, it was just such a, I don't want to go see this movie. I hate superheroes, and they would, like, make me go watch it, and I just was like, I'm done. I'm done with all of it.
I can't blame you, Danny. If you're dragged, I was that way about Westerns, and so whenever a good Western comes out, everyone goes, dude, you don't understand, or you ought to watch Yellowstone, or you know, Longmire, watch all the, and I'm like, dude, you don't understand. I hated this growing up. All we ever had on in my house was Westerns. I wanted to watch anything else, and they forced me to watch those damn shows. And so even today, like, you know, the greatest Westerns of the world, which there's some good ones out there, but I'm like, I'm with you on that.
That's funny, because for me, it's the historical, like, war films.
Oh,
and
yeah,
Star Trek.
And Star Trek.
That's all my dad wanted to watch.
So specific on that.
It was, though. It was like war films. And Star Trek. I'm like, gosh, enough with this.
Which is such an interesting, you know, choice because I mean, Star Trek is like the Space Navy, so in a way.
Space Navy. Imagine if there was an actual purple and green car in Missouri that looked exactly like that, and they were just like, why is everybody calling the cops on me?
That's funny.
I almost want a car. I want to get a car that looks like that, actually. I kind of like that color scheme in a weird way, man. Because it has the green hubcaps. I was like, that looks kind of cool. I'm not going to, you know.
That could be your thing, man.
Might be my thing. Next car I get, I'm going to say, hey, man, can you get it in purple and then green hubcaps? Can you do that for me?
And what if, like, you dress like the Joker? Or maybe, like, you just dress like all the different Batman villains.
I used to dress. He was my go-to for Halloween. I dressed as a Joker multiple times.
I was talking about for Wednesday or something.
Yeah, like I was expecting you to be like, oh, I used to dress up all the time as the Joker. Well, it was totally normal.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, before superhero movies were cool. This is even before the first movie. I was just, like, a Joker fan. I loved his look.
Yeah, super hipster over there.
No doubt about it, Rev. And Kathy dressed as the She-Hulk. And they're finally making a TV show about her. But this was like decades before. When everybody watches She-Hulk, they're going to go, isn't that what your wife used to dress like in Halloween in the 70s? And they're like, yeah, that was her, baby. Yeah. Wow. So.
All right. And then for formal events, you could be like the Riddler. You wear that little suit with the question marks all over.
Oh, I love the Riddler, too. The Riddler was actually my favorite of all of them.
Or the Penguin.
But here's the problem with the Riddler. You know, he wears a skin-tight suit that your boys are just... I don't know how Frank Gorshin's boys weren't on display, and I'm afraid to go back and look because maybe they were. I mean, it was super skin tight, the Riddler suit that he had back.
Even
in the
60s. Jim Carrey one was super skin tight on that.
Yeah, it's just
at least that one lit up, so it might be a distraction from the boys.
Yeah, it's just like I don't know. There's a show called The Boys, but I don't want to see Jim Carrey's boys. I just don't.
Oh, and someone just texted in, just proving that we know nothing about cars. Any car guy knows that they didn't sell the Dodge 3700. Pretty sure they were only made in Argentina and sold in South America. In the U.S., they were called the Dart.
Yeah, duh.
Oh really?
The Dodge Dart. Okay, cool.
I had no idea the Dodge Dart was the 3700. Oh, I know a Dodge Dart.
Let me get a coffee in me before I recall my car knowledge, Danny.
Oh, sorry.
It's only in the morning.
Fair. That's fair.
Come in slack.
It is amazing with everybody on this program, out of all of us, none of us know anything about cars. It's insane.
No. You said all those names and numbers, and I'm like, sounds like a car to me.
Sounds like a car.
Yeah.
Talk to us about Batman, and come on.
Well, Danny, I would say this. Those Tim Burton movies feel very different than a superhero movie. I mean, that's a good reason to go back and watch them. And Rev, you can testify since you watched. His flavor is all over that movie. And it's worth watching the movie because it's Tim Burton that did it. If anybody else did it, I would say, why bother? It doesn't hold up. But just to be able to see how Tim Burton works and what he would do in a superhero movie is pretty wild, especially Batman 2, which was nuts.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, Danny DeVito is massively disgusting Tim Burton style.
I think that was the thing, too, is I think they used to give me, like, nightmares.
I didn't start having nightmares until they unveiled the nipple Batman suit with
you're absolutely right. Yeah, it was like, those nipple man.
I don't know if they were nightmares or just lucid dreams.
Oh, dear.
Oh, wow. All right, then.
BJ and Migs. Mornings on The Rock. 99.9 KISW.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
KISW, The Rock of Seattle. We got a list of rock covers that became more famous than the original. And it's a cool list itself. We've got the top three examples, which
I love these because this is a conversation that seems to come up every so often on our show. Like, when is a cover better than the original? It's very rare, but that has happened.
Mm-hmm. It really, really has, man. And I keep forgetting that the number one thing that we're going to play, we'll start off with, was Jimi Hendrix's All Along the Watchtower. I forget that this was not his song originally.
No, it was a Dave Matthews Band song.
That's what it was, So many songs that Dave did that people covered, and, you know, look, nothing against Dave, but they just...
I joke about that, but I think it's like the very first release that Dave Matthews ever put out in college. I was a little... I was moderately into Dave Matthews. Okay, I was a little obsessed, but he had like the record that made him a big star with like Ants Marching and the other song. I can't remember what you say or something. But there was like a live record I think he put out right before that or right after that. Whatever on the history of Dave Matthews, but it included a cover of All on the Watchtower, and it was a phenomenal cover.
Oh, so you really like it? And
but I thought he was covering Jimi Hendrix at that time. I had no idea that it was a Bob Dylan song.
Yeah, and so we've got a little bit of both, and you can hear, you know, well, why Jimmy's version is the better one, actually.
All along the watchtower, princess kept the view. While all the women came and went, barefoot servants too.
Yeah, I never really got into Bob Dylan and his voice. I didn't hate it, but I was never really a fan of it.
Yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. It was a different sound, and you know that whole. It's just so folky. You know, it's just so like grassrootsy. But I do like what Jimmy did with his. I mean, he really, you know, he gave it. You know, Jimmy. Jimmy just the way he sang, man. It was just like everything he sang. You just was like, all right, this has got meat to it. This has got soul to it.
I feel like when an artist can cover a song and make you not know that it was a cover. That's a pretty impressive feat because honestly, up until like I said, college, I had no idea that that was originally a Bob Dylan song because I wasn't a Bob Dylan fan.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, we know Weezer loves doing the covers.
I wish
also,
they wouldn't.
I'm not going to argue with you on that one. And also, I'm probably a bigger Bowling for Soup fan than I should be, but they've also done some covers that I'm just like, yeah. And they've done some weird, like, they go all over the road with their covers, and I'm like, so far I've not heard one done by them that's better than the original. It doesn't always work. It really
a texter brought up one, and I'm shocked that it didn't make the list because I agree. Anytime Johnny Cash covers a song, he makes it his song. Yeah. I mean, it's especially Nine Inch Nails' "Hurt," and I love Nine Inch Nails' original version of "Hurt." Yeah. It's very haunting, and it's an incredible song. But when Johnny Cash covered, I was like, holy smokes, he just made this song his own and made it way better. Yeah. And that's saying a lot because I did like the original.
Yeah, that's a good call.
That's like one of my that might be my favorite Johnny Cash song.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I was never really a fan of old school Johnny Cash. I respect it, but I became a fan of Johnny Cash when he started working with Rick Rubin, like the final stages of his career when him and Rick started getting together and he became just – it was just this old dude that was singing some hard stuff. You know, I mean, it was really cool and very raw, and I loved it.
Yeah, it is. You know, when you get a producer, it does make a difference. When you know, depending on who the producer is, when they start working with somebody, you know, you can really, you know, their genius comes out because, like you said, Steve, you were not a fan before, but Rick did something with Johnny that made you really appreciate Johnny.
Yeah, I always respected what he did, and I never hated any of the songs that I've heard, but I never went out of my way to listen to a Johnny Cash record. But I've listened to all the American recordings. Like, I just love what he was doing with Rick Rubin.
Now, during my high school, early college years, this was a big hit, and I never even knew it was a cover. I had no idea, and that's Quiet Riot's Come On, Feel the Noise. I had no idea there was a band called Slade that did it before them.
They
did a couple.
I think they've done a couple of Slade covers. Slade was like ahead of their time and never got the respect that they deserved, I feel.
Yeah, and in this case, yeah, Quiet Riot's the only band I know that did this.
Still had good energy. It just wasn't as metal.
Yeah,
yeah. It wasn't as produced.
Yes,
I really felt like the production was a little bit less in Slade's version.
They hadn't discovered distortion guitars yet.
Yeah, damn, dude. I mean, it is. I remember Come On, Feel the Noise. I feel like it was all over MTV as well.
Yes,
yeah.
You know, totally. Back in the day,
dude. I was obsessed with Quiet Riot back then.
Wow, really?
They were like at one point my favorite metal band.
Nice.
Wow.
During that record, around that time, yeah, them and Twisted Sister, they'd go back and forth.
And you know what's funny is nowadays I don't consider them metal.
Oh,
you know what's so bizarre? I consider it like glam rock. I can see, you know what I mean? I put it in that category, but you're right. Back then, they were metal.
Well, heavy metal back then, if you were a product of the Headbangers Ball like I was growing up watching it on the weekends at like midnight or whatever with Ricky Rackman, like it covered everything from, you know, Cinderella to Nuclear Assault. Like you had thrash metal all the way to glam metal. But to us growing up and all my buddies, metal was metal. Like, yeah, either you were wearing lipstick or denim jackets, you were still metal.
Yeah.
Sounds weird.
Yeah, it's true, though, man. You're right.
Yeah, tight jeans or tight leather pants, you were still metal.
Yeah, metal is metal.
And we're talking about this list of rock covers.
Eyeliner or pimples, it was still metal.
Yeah,
that's right.
Man, Metallica had some of the best pimples when they first started. Look at that first record, the band photo.
Pimples all over the place.
Oh,
I don't remember.
They were waiting to be part of one of those commercials for Proactive.
Wow.
They're just so young and like, you know,
hey,
like any kid.
James Hetfield for Proactive.
Yeah. Like they were like 17, 18 years old, like going through like, you know.
Oh, man, that was a long time ago.
The pimple phase.
Dude. I don't know. You know what? I'd have to go back and look at that. Oh, gosh. Yeah. Oh, look how young they are, dude. I totally forget them this young.
Yeah.
Wow.
Just young and raw, dude. Man. They were going for it.
Boy, do you feel old now? I mean, seriously. I mean,
you're not wrong,
man. I mean, I don't even. I mean, like they're dressed like I wouldn't even know that was them, you know, because I'm just so used to Metallica. Like, you know, like 20 years after that.
Wow.
So we've got this list of the original of rock covers that became more famous than the original tune.
Ooh, somebody brought up a good one that I know it's not on the list, but it was "Darling Nikki" by Prince, covered by the Foo Fighters.
Oh, yeah.
They did a really good version of that. We played it on the station for a little bit. It was pretty awesome.
You know, I don't know if I've heard that version.
It's just more rocked up, but it's pretty badass. Another good one. I remember Chris Cornell when he covered Nothing Compares to You, the Sinead O'Connor Prince song.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Her version was pretty awesome, but I mean, Chris Cornell, if there's anybody that could have, you know, done that well, it would have been him.
Oh, yeah, he did a great job for it.
Yeah.
It took me years working here at a rock station to realize that a lot of the Nirvana songs that I love are covers. Like, I had no idea The Man Who Sold the World was a cover of David Bowie.
Someone even texted saying, for the longest time, I just thought that was a Nirvana song until I heard David Bowie's version.
And same with Where Did You Sleep Last Night? Like, I've heard the original, and it sounds really awesome, but yeah, Nirvana made it, for
sure. Now, there are covers that, frankly, really feel like it was just somebody who was really talented at songwriting who said, here's a song, and gave it, because it has that vibe to it, because you've got the covers with, you know, like we know Bob Dylan was a guy, and we know that these people were really famous. But then there are covers, like I brought up Warren Zevon before. Even though I know Warren Zevon and a lot of people love the guy, it wasn't like he was a super, super well-known, you know, massive hit. And he had a song, Poor, Poor, Pitiful Me, which was a great song, but Linda Ronstadt did it so much better. And this next one that we have, I think, is in the same category, because I don't know how many people know J.J. Cale. I mean, he was people in music know the dude. People know but he was never a guy that really wanted the limelight, even though he had put out, he wrote some and did some songs that other people did that were really good, including this one that Eric Clapton made a huge hit.
If you wanna get down, down on the ground. She don't lie, she don't lie, she don't lie.
I'd also, I don't know if it's on the list because I've only got the top three in front of me, but I got to be thinking GNR is knocking on heaven's door. I like that so much better. Even though Dylan's version is good, I still think GNR's version is better.
It doesn't look like it is on the, at least on the top 10 of them. I don't think it's actual like number one, but it's just like a compilation of like some of the favorites, but it's not in that batch. But yeah, that's a great one. Although I can't get it out of my head. I remember watching a live pay-per-view, and it was Guns N' Roses and Soundgarden. And they did Knocking on Heaven's Door, and it's such a great version. But then in the middle of it, they go, Axl's just like, all right, reggae. And they turned it into like a reggae jam.
Really?
And it soured me on that version for the longest time. Because it's like,
I don't know if I've heard that.
I don't know if you can even find it. It was I remember watching it as a kid, and like it was a live concert, and we spent the money to get it so we could watch. I mean, I ordered it so I could see Soundgarden live, but then also Guns N' Roses. It's like a 1-2 punch. And man, it was like they're playing it and they're feeling it, and then all of a sudden Axl just like decides it's time to make it a reggae song. And then the drums, it's like some, like everything changed. And it was cool, but it was like, now anytime I heard it, I would always think of that moment. And I was just like, man, that kind of soured me on this song for a long time.
Wow, that's an interesting choice. I'm going to have to look that up myself and hear that, because look, I know reggae was big at the time, probably when Axl, and maybe he loved, Bob Marley, and he saw what the Police were doing.
I found it.
Oh, all right.
This was Live in Tokyo, 1992.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
I hope you're ready for this.
Here we go.
Wow.
I wonder.
Give me some reggae.
Could we get an honest answer out of Duff McKagan and think if we asked him, like, guys, what were you thinking?
You remember doing it? This is 1992, BJ.
No, but I mean, it's like
all of the early 90s are a blur.
Hopefully that's, that'll probably be his generic answer. But you know when somebody thinks something's a great idea, who's in charge, and everybody goes, they just roll their eyes. I wonder if that's a roll your eyes moment.
Give me some reggae.
It's just like a 45-second reggae breakdown, and then they just go back into it.
Right. They probably thought that it was a great idea. They were probably like, guys, it'd be great. Let's throw some reggae.
I feel like one member is like, this might be my last show with the band.
Yeah.
Bye, Izzy.
It just doesn't fit. I mean, Axl looks just so Axl, and it's like, dude, I am not getting any sort of Rastafarian Jah vibes from you at all when you do this.
And you're like, okay, well, maybe it's like, there's somewhere where reggae is popular. In Tokyo. It's not even like it was.
Well, it's very popular, yeah.
Give me some reggae.
Yeah, sure, okay.
Weird. Wow. In my head, I'm like, I wonder if I've got this warped. But, Rev, when you played that, it was exactly how I remembered it.
No, you got it right down. Boom, perfect.
Yeah,
it was pretty easy to find. Thanks.
I'm not sure that was a great idea, and probably that's probably why you never hear much of it.
And when I saw them at the Gorge and they did Knocking on Heaven's Door, I was very nervous. I had like almost like a moment of anxiety, like, don't give us reggae. Come on, Axl, don't give it. Just give us the song how you guys do it.
I think it was the one and done. I think that after that show, I would be surprised if he did it more than that.
I feel like that was something they were doing throughout the tour.
Oh, boy.
Why would you just bust it out randomly on one show?
You're right. Oh, that's, man. Wow. Not everybody. Not every idea is a good idea.
Today's podcast was brought to you by Travis Gagne, bankruptcy attorney. He's here right now and has agreed to answer more of your questions about bankruptcy. What's the difference between filing for bankruptcy and credit counseling?
Credit counseling is a useful process in some circumstances, but it does show up on your credit. In fact, from a credit scoring standpoint, credit counseling shows up just like a bankruptcy, so it's going to affect your credit as negatively as filing bankruptcy. In credit counseling, the idea is that a credit counselor works with your creditors on your behalf to try to lower interest rates or work out payment plans with your creditors to pay back your debt over time. In credit counseling, you almost always pay back 100% of the debt, sometimes at lower interest. And of course, some creditors will participate in that process and some won't. So you're usually left with kind of a mixed result with credit counseling and, of course, a high payment.
Thanks, Travis. If you have more questions about bankruptcy, you can reach out to Travis anytime at ChooseTheRightChapter.com. That's ChooseTheRightChapter.com. Thanks for listening.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.